Browns departing the Greenbrier. They're back, are headed back towards Cleveland here as we get you ready for preseason game number one in just over a week for the Cleveland Browns. Football is approaching very quickly, and there's many ways, many ways to get you ready for the season. And one is to look at the numbers. We're going to bring on one of the best to do it, and a man who, in a lot of ways, created the public sports analytics side of things for you and me, for the Browns fans out there. We head out to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and welcome on CAO of For the Numbers. He's also an ESPN Plus NFL analyst. And right now, you guys can go to FTNFantasy.com for his yearly football almanac. Aaron Schatz, welcome to the show.
Hey. Thanks. We're such good friends that you can just call me by my first name. It's all good.
I do that with everybody. When I see, you know, Robert De Niro, I'm like, Bob, what's up, friend?
Bobby, yeah. Hey, yeah.
The president, it's not Mr. President to me. It's, you know, it's Joe, it's Barack, it's G-Dubs. You know, that's just kind of how I roll. I think you understand that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So as we kind of prepare here for this conversation about the Cleveland Browns, there's two opinions that I have heard a lot this offseason, both in Cleveland and out. And one is that the defense is likely to regress after being the number one team in football last year, number one defense in football. And two, that there's a good chance the offense might actually take a step forward. So what would you expect, a more significant change in the Browns offense getting significantly better or the defense maybe being significantly worse?
I think that I would be more likely to expect the offense to be significantly better. Now, I mean, the defense is likely to regress, but that's because all defenses are likely to regress. There's nothing about the Cleveland defense in particular that's more likely to regress than other defenses. In fact, the Cleveland defense was bad in the red zone, right? Which means their overall defense might not be as good, but if they're better in the red zone, the points allowed are going to stay the same. So we have Cleveland with our number one projection on defense, but on offense, we have them going from 28th to 19th.
So in terms of the 19th best offense in the NFL, I'm curious, like, how does that get it done? Is that the kind of championship caliber offense if you've got the number one defense in the NFL?
Here's the thing. The number one projected defense, if they actually have the rating we're projecting, will not be the number one defense, because the fact is, right, some defenses are going to be better than we expect and some defenses are going to be worse than we expect. If they have the actual number one defense in the league with an average offense, yes, they're in the mix for the Super Bowl at that point. Now, what's tough for Cleveland is what's tough for a lot of teams. First of all, they have, I think, the toughest schedule in their division. But also, the AFC is just super strong. We have eight of our top 12 projected teams are AFC teams, okay? Which means that even if we're right about all eight of those teams, one of them has to miss the playoffs.
Aaron Schatz of course, ESPN Plus is an NFL analyst, the CAO of For the Numbers on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So I vaguely understand the idea of DVOA, and I'm not saying that in like a diminishing way. I just mean I'm not very smart, but I do understand the idea behind it. I'm just curious, though, when it comes to number one defense or number one in DVOA, what's the most amount of times a team's defense has repeated leading the league in DVOA?
Oh, that's a good question, and I do not have the answer at the tip of my tongue, but I think the answer is two or three times. We actually didn't have Cleveland number one last year. We had Baltimore number one, and Cleveland was very slightly behind them, number two. But the answer is 3 years in a row, which the Broncos did from 2014 to 2016, and the Bears from 1984 to 1986.
So while we're on the topic of value, right? That's I'm always intrigued by the true value difference between like a Mahomes and a Garrett, but even more so like a Myles Garrett and like whoever you might think is the 13th best quarterback in the NFL. So if we just kind of try on face value, what I set up there, value wise, what's the gap? What's the value gap between the most dominant pass rusher? We'll use Myles Garrett in this example, and maybe the number one quarterback in the NFL in this example, we'll use Pat Mahomes.
I mean, it's a large number, like two or three games a year. Like, the fact is that the top quarterbacks are just much more valuable than the top players at any other position. And that, you know, is not of any fault of Myles Garrett. It just has to do with the fact that the quarterback touches the ball on every offensive play, right? I mean, the thing about defense is that when there's a great defensive player, you can avoid them a little bit, right? Like, one defensive player does not make a defense. Look at the Raiders. Right. And Max Crosby, who's up there with Garrett as one of the top edge rushers in the league. And yet that defense as a whole is bad because you double team Crosby and you know he's going to get you on a few plays. But, you know, you pick on their weaknesses. So what makes the Brown defense good is they don't have the weaknesses.
So is there a magical line in the sand? Is it like quarterback 12, quarterback 15, quarterback 18? When does that disparity between elite quarterback and any starting quarterback and an elite pass rusher or elite defensive player kind of level out?
There are some other companies that do try to do numbers that are comparable across positions that would have better answers to this than I would, but I would say like the 15th or 16th best quarterback is probably equivalent to the best defensive players.
So while we're doing that, we can talk about quarterbacks because I gotta be honest with you, Aaron, we're all haggling over Deshaun Watson going into year three and can he be a top five quarterback? Can he be a top 10 quarterback or a top 15 quarterback? And you know, how does that correlate to the Browns' success this year? Is there a standard practice? Is there a way that we can gauge what level of play we're truly getting from Deshaun Watson, provided he's healthy for a full season this year?
I think after six games in 2022, we said, okay, this doesn't make sense with his past, right? He's got to be better than this. After 12 games over 2 years now, and the good season from Watson is now 4 years in the rearview mirror, I think it is unlikely that Deshaun Watson is an above-average quarterback in the NFL at this point. But he could be an average quarterback, which at least would be better than what he's done for the Browns in his first two seasons.
So not to call it all the way back, Aaron, to the very beginning of this interview, but if he's, I'll put a number on it because I'm that kind of host. If he's the 15th best quarterback in the NFL this year and the Browns have a top three defense and they are maybe even more consistent than last year because I thought that was a big thing. They had great performances and they had some caca performances. But let's say instead of being number one or even a close second in DVOA, they're top three, but they're just more consistent. Is top 15 quarterback and top three defense, is that a championship team?
Probably not. If you have an average quarterback, you really need to be the top defense.
So looking to, like, I think I really kind of love Detroit's offseason. I know not all progress is linear. As a matter of fact, it's not in really any way, unless you are consistently like San Francisco or Kansas City or something like that. But with Detroit, I actually think their defense is going to be even better. In terms of rankings, now that's not what you guys do because you actually look at the numbers and, you know, base it off that. But in terms of rankings, I've seen Jared Goff somewhere in that 13, 14, 15, 16 ranking. Is that kind of a similar case of, hey, they'll be a good team, but maybe they won't be knocking on the door of the Super Bowl for a second straight year?
No, because Goff is in a special category. Like Goff, Purdy, and Tagovailoa are in a category where their production is much higher than what we see from scouting analysts about how good they are because of the schemes that they are in, the offensive coordinators that they work with, the receivers that they work with. So Goff produces like one of the six or seven best quarterbacks in the league. Now, the fact is, if you were choosing the top five or six quarterbacks in the league, you wouldn't take Goff. You wouldn't take Tagovailoa, and you probably wouldn't take Purdy. But the production for all those guys, because of their teammates and the schemes, is in that level. So Detroit absolutely is in Super Bowl mix. I think their offense will be a little bit lower than last year. I think their defense will be a little bit better, and they are absolutely in the mix. We have them as the number two team in the entire NFC behind San Francisco.
Where do you have the Browns ranking in the AFC?
We have the Browns seventh in the AFC right now.
Does that make them? Because I think last year it felt like, well, if any one of these teams is the final seven teams, they might have a realistic chance to win a Super Bowl. Do you feel that same way about a loaded AFC this year?
Well, I mean, I feel like every team has a realistic chance to win the Super Bowl, because I was alive in 1999 when the Rams were considered dead in the water when Trent Green got hurt, and then they went on to win the whole thing. So it's just a question of the sort of gradual drop in probabilities from your San Francisco to your, I don't know, New York Giants or whoever's at the bottom of the league. But, you know, is Cleveland in the top half of teams likely to win a Super Bowl? Yes. Are they in the top eight? No.
Aaron Schatz on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Getting you ready for the Browns. Again, he's got the FTN Football Almanac now. You can get that FTNFantasy.com. But I also know that about an hour ago, you were part of AMA. I know you tend to do Ask Me Anythings quite a bit there. What's the most common question you get in an AMA setting?
Oh, people, I mean, first of all, they want to know who's going to be a fantasy sleeper for this year. But second, you know, I get a lot of, you know, define DVOA type questions, because, I mean, the fact is I named it something complicated. If I could go back in time 21 years, I would have called it something easier.
What would you call it?
I don't know, adjusted efficiency or something. Or I would have named it after myself. I don't know.
I would say... Schatz DVOA sounds even better than DVOA. I just think DVOA actually kind of rolls off the tongue there. So to bring it back to the Browns here, Aaron, David Njoku last year had by far his best season, and that was, it felt like a payoff of a long-term hedge bet by the Cleveland Browns when they paid him a few years back. What do you think the keys are to David Njoku staying at that level of production, or maybe even growing to a different level of production this year?
I mean, he's got to get out there. He's got to stay healthy. The talent has always been there for Njoku, so that's not, like, a huge surprise. Like, his catch rate wasn't as good as past years last year. He just was healthier and on the field and getting open more often. And so, like, that's the thing, is he's just got to get open, because if you get open, he'll make the catches and he'll get the yardage.
So that brings us to a newly minted Cleveland Brown. The Browns traded for Jerry Jeudy earlier this offseason, and kind of like the Elijah Moore trade a year before, the expectations from Browns fans seems to be all over the place. So I this is more of, I think I've heard Browns fans say something similar in terms of a definitive statement, but I'll ask it as a question. If Jerry Jeudy is, production-wise, who he was in Denver, is that trade a success for the Cleveland Browns?
Kind of depends on which Jerry Jeudy you get. He's been incredibly inconsistent, okay? So let's just talk about DYAR, which is my total value stat. He was 66th in 2021. 17th in 2022, and then 57th last year. So that is a lot of bouncing around. He's been very inconsistent. If you get that guy from 2022, caught 67% of passes, had almost 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns, yeah, I mean, wow, that's really good. If you get the guy from last year, not so good.
Aaron, you're a rock star, man. Every year, I mean, not just the Football Almanac, you come here, you make me feel a little bit smarter. I appreciate that, and I appreciate all you do, buddy. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, thanks for having me on. FTNFantasy.com/almanac is where you find the almanac online.
That is a fantastic plug. Aaron, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
Hey, thanks so much, man.
Aaron Schatz on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.